Barney, Melanie, and Wallace are sitting in the waiting room of Purgatory. A voice comes booming and telling Wallace to go to room 22. Wallace goes along. He finds himself in a room with a really ugly woman. He stands there staring at this really strange-looking person, and a voice comes booming into the room. Wallace, for your sins and tribulations on earth, you must stay with this person for 10 years. Melanie and Barney are looking anxiously at each other in the waiting room. Melanie gets the announcement next. She must go to room 33. Melanie goes along. An utterly ugly man awaits her, gross, smelly, very ugly. A voice comes into the room and says, Melanie, for your sins and tribulations, you must stay here 20 years. Back in the waiting room, Barney finally gets the call. Barney is told to go to room 44. He goes along. A stunning woman awaits. His mouth falls open. She is beautiful. It is Marilyn Monroe, as she appeared in her first movie. As he is adjusting to the vision of beauty, a voice comes booming into the room and says, Marilyn Monroe, for your sins and tribulations. What a shock to find out that you're the penance to pay for someone else's sins. Their judgment is to deal with your ugliness. Of course, that entire premise is ridiculous and hasn't a shred of biblical support to it. Lest you've any doubt, let me repeat, there is no such thing as purgatory. All of our sins are forgiven by Lord Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Or they're not forgiven at all if we refuse to accept Lord Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. End of story. What we do in this earthly life is the preface to our eternal existence. Like God himself, we are tripartite beings composed of a physical body, a soul, which is our mind and emotions, and our eternal spirit, which God first breathed into Adam when God made him from the dust of the earth. All of us human beings are eternal beings. The enormous difference is whether we inherit glorious eternal life from Christ Jesus, or whether we insist on eternal death, sharing it with the devil in everlasting rebellion, with hysterical hatred and unceasing diabolical screams coming from our toothless mouths as our flesh continually burns, melts, and drops from our skeleton, and just as quickly reforms on our bones, all to be burned and fall off in clumps again and again. This final gruesome judgment, with no appeals left, is what awaits those who disobey God. But God is not some tyrant spying on us to catch us when we slip up. God's rules are all for our own good, and given because he loves us more than we ever love ourselves. The most difficult thing in learning to obey God is a very simple thing: learning to stop thinking of ourselves. While some undesirables try to excuse their behavior by claiming it was just human nature, as California Governor Gavin Newsom recently said when he was caught wining and dining in a luxury restaurant with some so-called medical professionals, in direct violation of orders he issued to all the rest of his fellow Californians, laws for you, but not for me, so-called human nature can never be an excuse, for it is what pushes us to sin in the first place. Indeed, the picture God paints through the prophet Ezekiel in today's passage condemns people exactly like Governors Newsom, Cuomo of New York, and Whitmer of Michigan, etc. Political leaders are supposed to be shepherds of the people, as Ezekiel describes. But in 34, verses 2 through 4, Father God describes how ancient Israel's leaders behaved and how far too many of our state leaders and big city mayors, mostly Democrats, are acting today. What sorrow awaits you, shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Indeed, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. Both these ancient leaders and our modern ones are truly fake shepherds, pretend shepherds. They put on a big show of caring for the people, but as soon as the cameras are off, they go back immediately to fleecing their flocks. Public office for them is not to serve the people. Rather, it's a path to career advancement and ever fatter bank accounts. The real meaning of civil service is hardly the only thing that needs to be taught in our schools again. Our loving God, King of the universe, will not put up with this forever. He will not look the other way, and we must not either. The biggest heist of an election probably in all history is being attempted right under our noses as we speak. It turns out that the electronic voting software used in 30 states was designed specifically to create false election returns on the fly to ensure that our one designated candidate would always win. This is how Hugo Chavez managed to win every election after Venezuela began using it. But turns out the landslide, the groundswell, the popular uprising of Americans voting in unprecedented numbers for President Trump's re-election was so great that it overwhelmed the software that was designed to incrementally subtract votes from the wrong candidate and add them to the correct candidate. The system couldn't keep up, which is why, speaking only of one swing state as an example, when Trump was over 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, they suddenly stopped the count. Same thing happened in other swing states as well, all at the same hour, within minutes of each other. They needed to give the Dominion software time to catch up and complete its adjustments of the vote counts so that the Democrats could win the election. Isn't it also ominous that the very name of this software is Dominion? But none of this escapes our Father God's notice. He loves us and gently sees to his children's every need, but watches like a hawk for the sins of his enemies because they harm his children, these enemies who never fed, gave drink, provided hospitality, clothed, or visited the least of these, my brothers and sisters, he announced in Matthew 25, 43, and 45. So what will become of all these fake shepherds who refuse to repent? Verse 41 reports, the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Now that is ominous. Indeed, Psalm 2 describes our state of affairs, which we see has been going on all over the earth from time immemorial. Listen now to Psalm 2. As rendered in the brand new and still unfinished, as not all Bible books are yet complete, Passion Translation. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit as the rulers scheme and confer together against the Lord God and his anointed king, saying, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of God and his Christ. God enthroned merely laughs at them. The Sovereign One mocks their madness. Then with the fierceness of his fiery anger, he settles the issue and terrifies them to death with these words, "I myself have poured out my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will reveal the eternal purpose of God, for he has decreed over me, 'You are my favored son, and as your father I have crowned you as my king eternal. Today I became your father. Ask me to give you the nations, and I will do it, and they shall become your legacy. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth, and you will shepherd them with unlimited authority, crushing their rebellion as an iron rod smashes jars of clay. Listen to me, all you rebel kings and all you upstart judges of the earth. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serve and worship the awe-inspiring God. Recognize his greatness and bow before him, trembling with reverence in his presence. Fall face down before him and kiss the sun before his anger is roused against you. Remember that his wrath can be quickly kindled, but many blessings are waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him." You see, we have no need to be upset, worried, or afraid. What does Lord Jesus himself tell us in Matthew 25:46? "They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." As for our modern-day election predicament, the time is truly fast approaching when the evil power brokers will get their comeuppance. For the Lord God has his plans for us and for America, and the corruption so far revealed is not just in this nation, but extends to nations worldwide. Our current fight, citizens of America and siblings of King Jesus Christ, is not just for America, but for the whole world. So people, take courage and do not believe the secular media. Gauge everything you hear by what you hear Holy Spirit speaking quietly into your heart. Ignore your emotions. Center yourself on a scripture, maybe even Psalm 2, and let yourself dwell there for many minutes as a steaming cup of tea steeping in the very presence of your Savior. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us what your plans are, as you have promised that you would never do anything without letting your prophets know what you are about to do. And so we thank you for it. And we pray, dear Holy Spirit, please come upon us ever more strongly, that we may hear you ever more clearly and be encouraged, strengthened, and fortified in our faith, which you have promised to bring to completion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.